Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. This show will help you dial in on what it takes to drive a successful digital transformation journey. You will learn about the best practices and premier strategies used from industry leaders who have driven millions of dollars in net positive business transformations. In the next 20 minutes, we'll cover everything you need to know to make your digital transformation successful. My name is Sarah Dokowitz, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. In today's episode, we're going to cover the topic of global transformation strategy. In a way, strategies for transformation share a number of key similarities. But how does the introduction of global and regional factors impact strategy? What should you pay attention to, and how do you balance everything? That's the topic we'll be covering today. Joining me for today's discussion is Adam Cheatham, Director of Strategy and Transformation at Third Stage Consulting Group, which is an independent and technology agnostic digital transformation consulting firm. Adam and his colleagues have worked with some of the world's leading organizations in their transformation journeys, and he has provided support and guidance through defining a strategy that enables transformation success. Adam, thank you for joining us today.
Of course, thank you.
Yes, definitely. Great to have you. Now, I want to get into it. So it seems like digital strategy can be a tough topic basically to take on. And I wanted to know, are there any tools or tactics that you start with to basically simplify the conversation to create a base foundation?
Yeah, so at a high level, digital transformation at a global or a local level or share some common characteristics. You really want to start with your executive alignment and making sure that your strategy is aligned there and that all of your executives are all on the same page. But you also need to know your business needs and you want to do your due diligence up front so that you know that your strategy, when it rolls out, is going to really be able to take hold the way that you want it. You want to plan for failure and challenges along the way. And you want to take into account organizational change management, the people impact of change. All of these things you need to be paying attention to, whether or not you're conducting a global transformation or a smaller localized transformation. So there are some common characteristics, yes.
Awesome. And I wanted to also touch on executive strategy alignment across the globe, because having different executives responsible for different regions, I'm sure, can create some very different approaches in business. So can you tell us a little bit about how important the global alignment is for executives and how to achieve that?
Yeah, so at a basic level, the importance is pretty high. You know, as you start to kind of roll out this global strategy, if you have different regions or different countries that are kind of off doing their own thing, the reach to the folks that are actually doing the work at the bottom level doesn't get there if you don't have the alignment at the executive level. So we start with that. We start at the top, and we get, as best we can, we get all the executives into a room. Sometimes it takes everybody flying to one location, which is, of course, right now a bit more difficult. But other times it's something that can be done remotely or can be done in chunks where you do maybe Asia Pacific, Europe, and then the Americas for organizations like that. From there, you want to know where they all sit and where they all stand and what their priorities are. For a country that is more focused on just the distribution and there isn't really any manufacturing in their area, they may not have the same needs as the region that is responsible for conducting the manufacturing and producing actual goods to be distributed by some of those other areas. So you want to take a look at kind of how your company is structured, the priorities and needs of each executive in each region, And then start thinking about how it is a global strategy starts and then rolls downwards.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's total like reverse engineering everything, starting like from the top, like you said, and like seeing what the kind of goal is, making sure everyone's on the same page, and then just working it that way. I love that. And those different models in different areas of the world may create different business needs. So can you give some examples, I guess, kind of like on one region of the world may have different needs, kind of like I guess we covered, and how to consider those differences as well?
Yes. Part of this is an industry-based thing, and another part of it can be what's available in the local area, right? So at an industry level, you may have some industries that have different types of demands and may meet the market in different ways. For example, if you're talking about providing food and services to smaller restaurants in an area, that level of demand might be different in one country than it is in another, or in one region than it is in another. And so how it is those partners demand attention from you could be different. On the other hand, there's also the idea that from a regulatory perspective in your industry, whether or not there are more increases in the regulations that you have to abide by, whether it's in Europe or in the United States, or if there are different changes depending on the region of the world. There are also different competencies across the world. I once had a client that had a decision to make on where they were going to manufacture things, and which manufacturing facility was going to get all the machines and which one wasn't. And their way of putting it was, well, it's the labor in this corner of the world is more expensive, so we're going to replace those with machines, and the labor in this other corner of the world is quite a lot cheaper, so it will cost us less to do the job if we just hire people. So those types of other things can impact how it is you roll out a strategy globally, and you should be paying attention to which parts of your business operate in what types of manners based on the structure of your business.
Yeah, wow. That sounds like there's a lot of differences, and that can really drive significant changes in how to approach creating a global strategy by the sounds of it. So really interesting stuff. And how do you make sure that you're doing all the, you know, doing all your due diligence and not have problems with analysis paralysis? Does that have like an impact on how you anticipate challenges along the way and plan for them as well?
Yeah, I mean, at some point you kind of have to, like, creating a global strategy can create a lot of detail, and you can really get down to some nitty gritty minute details on that. But at the same time, you know, if you don't get your strategy off the ground, it's all the work you put in, you don't get to take the benefit of it. So you had to find a balance, right? So managing down to the shop floor level with a digital strategy isn't effective. But at the same time, knowing what you want locally from your strategy is kind of where I like to play that balance. I want to know at the high level where everything's going to be the same, and then come down to a more regional level and know where things will be differentiated, so that we're not necessarily going down to the business unit level, the functional area level, or the individual task level for your strategy, because that's going to just take a lot of time. But you want to start thinking about how to keep out of the weeds and start thinking about how to just drive impact at a global level and in a way that fits with what it is you're trying to achieve. And if you find that your due diligence is taking you down a path that's causing you to be unable to employ your strategy, maybe stop for a second, pull things back up and say, what are we trying to accomplish here? And are we doing that? And are we adding that much value by going down to a lower level of detail? Or can we just get started and figure out the rest along the way? Because at some point, you've got to make a decision to get started, and you will never have every last piece of information.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that from my personal experience too, like with just anything in life, you know, if you just don't get started, you just don't know where it can end up, and then where you can kind of like change course in between that too, because you just have to implement. So.
Right. Like at some point you got to kind of give it a go. You know, all your plans are going to change, and that's fine. You just have a strategic vision behind it, so that when those plans do change, you know what your general strategy is for accommodating those changes.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love it. And it seems like having that global organization can really create some significant complexity, how an organization would want to approach a digital transformation. And creating a strategy sounds like it may take a lot of effort, but it also can have a really good payoff. So I love everything that you've been covering so far. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to ask Adam some more questions about some of the common things that create these kinds of complexities in an international organization. And we'll be right back with more of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah Dogovic, speaking with Adam Cheatham from Third Stage Consulting about global transformation strategy. So Adam, I want to dig in a little bit deeper and a little bit more of the characteristics of global organizations that cause some of the complexities we talked about and how you recommend approaching them. So the biggest impact on global companies is often just the difference in region and local customs and expectations. So do you have any examples of how these kinds of cultural variances can impact a digital transformation?
Yes, I do. And some of the ways that these types of organizations that are globally spread regionally and culturally can create different expectations and different deployment methods, right? So there are a number of different tactics that we use, and one of my favorites is understanding what the power distance in an organization is culturally and what the level of individualism is in an organization. So when you think about a culture that is created and based on hierarchy and is designed for or intended where people who are working for you are expected to just kind of do their job, stay in their box, and kind of follow the script, if you will, there's a different approach that happens for that type of a culture than one that's a bit more decentralized, where anybody at any part in any area of the hierarchy can come up with an idea and run with it, and they're enabled to do that. So you want to kind of make sure along the way, as you are thinking about what regions you operate in, what are some of the areas where cultural differences constrain how it is your company communicates with each other and how it is they address the needs of the market as well. So that when you have a particular product or service in one region versus another, different cultures are likely to have a different experience with that product or service. And that's something that you kind of want to think about how your change as a strategy perspective and deploying that might impact your the way you engage with the marketplace and with the culture in the marketplace.
Yeah, great. And would you recommend a company design a strategy around these kinds of challenges?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the last thing you want to do is design a strategy without thinking about how it is the way you go to market is going to be impacted and how it is your people are going to be able to accommodate that. Culture, one of the things that is always fun to see is that culture shock goes both ways. So when you have one type of a culture dictating to another what it is will happen, it's really difficult for cultures with differences that are like those that kind of power distance or individualism are set up, and where one might very much say this is the way that it works. Somebody up top said to do something, and so it's my job to do that. Where a different culture, when they're being told, may be accustomed to challenging that, vetting it out, and making sure that they know their place and their role in it. And you want to design how you communicate to those two different styles of cultures in a way that gets gains alignment with your global strategy, so that the approach is different in those two examples, but the end result is the same, where you're all headed in the same direction.
Yeah, super interesting. It almost just really feels like a game of a little bit of Tetris, you know, kind of putting it all together to make sure that everybody's on the same page, but also, like you said, the cultural, like, not necessarily cultural alignment, because cultures are so different, but making sure that you can accommodate for all of that to work together. I love that.
You want to embrace those cultural differences that make your company what it is, and what, particularly in the areas of the world that you operate, so that you're allowing those types of things to become strengths as opposed to hindrances.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, it sounds like organizations that span continents will have structural differences that can impact how a digital strategy rolls out. And I wanted you to speak on, if you can, on how the operational structure needs to be considered and what kinds of factors create the greatest impacts on the success of a global strategy.
Yeah, that's another very good question. And the easiest way of putting it is, if you have an organization with offices in all six continents plus, well, minus Antarctica, because not a lot of people do business there. But if you have locations across the globe, they're going to span different time zones. And having a location in the Americas, Europe, and Australia will cause you to run business around the clock effectively. And so as you're rolling out a digital strategy and any type of impact of that, and you're starting to go live, you're really going to kind of do that in chunks. Because, like, if you go live in Australia at noon, you're going live in the US probably somewhere around, I'd say, midnight, 4 a.m., somewhere in that ballpark. So, yeah, there's a difference there that you want to be aware of in timing. Just from a very basic level, and time zones are time zones, and you can kind of work around that, especially with remote tools like Zoom and Teams and stuff like that. Yeah. So the other part of it is just how your organization is structured and where your centers are, right? You might have distribution centers in all areas that are fed by individual production facilities in one corner of the world, but are fed by more third-party products in another part of the world. And those types of structures are things that you want to be aware of. So if you're doing all your production in Latin America, and then you're sending that to the States for distribution across North America, that might have a different approach than if you're doing all of your production in Germany and then distributing from Germany throughout Europe and into the Middle East and Africa and those types of arrangements. Because the idea of Incoterms and different types of customs, international trade regulations are going to have an impact on that as well. And you want to start thinking about what those might do to impact your digital strategy as you roll it out across the globe.
Yeah, wow. There's a lot of things to consider for sure when it comes to more of an international kind of level of things. And based on everything you've touched on, it's like a global scale digital transformation dips into a handful of complicating factors. So I wanted to also ask you, what kind of change management tactics do you use to tie all of these complications together so that people, that the people side rather of change is effectively addressed?
There are a number that you wanted to take into account. One of them is just that change in culture from place to place and being open and transparent between who's communicating with who on the idea that culture shock does go both ways, right? So you want to lean in and embrace that. And that's getting that conversation moving is a great change management tactic, and respecting that culture and measuring it in a way that allows you to say, you're talking to two different people, as in, we'll use an American speaking to maybe somebody from Singapore as an example, where my goal is to explore things and to find out what it is makes this unique. So then I can make a decision and I can charge headfirst into it. Whereas my counterpart in Singapore might have a different experience, where they're just there to do what they're told, and the structure there is a bit more hierarchical, to say I gain my way of doing things and my reasoning for doing things from someone else who tells me what to do, as opposed to from understanding and buying in personally. So there understanding those types of cultural differences and what motivates people within a business environment is important, as well as just making sure that you're openly and effectively communicating and addressing and embracing a resistance that's going to come in one form or another. And very seldom comes in the form of just outright resistance. I don't like this. I'm not doing it. And change management, when you think about resistance, we also think about unintentional resistance, misalignment, as well as misunderstanding. Those are all three different types of resistance that your change management plan should account for, and identifying the areas where you might encounter those, whether it's misunderstanding because of cultural differences or misalignment because of cultural expectations, where I think we're saying the same thing, but we're really not. Yeah. Just the general unintentional resistance that comes from, I don't know what I'm doing, so I'll just do nothing, and providing the right amount of communication, knowing where those changes are going to come from with this type of a digital strategy is important when you're rolling out globally. The last thing that you want to do that kind of ties all of this together is conduct a change in impact assessment of how it is regionally, locally, globally, this strategy is going to impact your people, and think about what those changes are going to be. What is my level of resistance supposed to be? What is the level of perceived value at each level of these individuals who will help me employ this strategy across the globe? Because at the end of the day, your strategy could be as brilliant as it gets, but if you aren't engaging your people in a way where they're helping you deploy it, it won't get you anywhere, and you won't get the fruits out of it that you're expecting to. So,
yeah, that was such a great explanation of it all. Just makes it so clear. So I appreciate that. And I'm really appreciative that you can share all those insights. Now, if our listeners want to learn more, what are some resources that you might suggest for them?
Yeah, if you want to learn more, there are a number of ways to do that. You can, of course, continue to listen to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. You can also reach out to me through LinkedIn or look at some of our LinkedIn posts, whether it's on my page or on our Third Stage consulting page. You can also check out our YouTube channel and subscribe to that for lots of great information on digital transformation.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Adam. Well, we're about out of time, but I really appreciate you being here. So thank you. And thank you all for listening. Again, my name is Sarah Djokovic, and we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.